This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It is another Triple Crown Saturday as we welcome you back for hour number two. Brian Colziel, along with Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs, who wants to jump in here. I guess he's got some breaking news.
I want to listen to the dulcet tones of Brian Colziel.
Oh, okay. You can do that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Dan Dunleavy, Sabres play-by-play man, coming up here in just a moment as we will be talking about the NHL playoffs and the Amerks. Speaking of Rochester, they were able to get a win last night by a score of 5-3, so that series now is all knotted up at one apiece. So we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up here with Dan, and also on the Stanley Cup playoffs, who, as we said, tonight, game six in Dallas between the Stars and the Jets. Mark Scheifele still, again, uncertain for this game tonight because of the death of his father. He's had a really good playoff so far. Scheifele has 10 points in 10 playoff games, and obviously, if he's out tonight, that's going to be a big loss for Winnipeg. But who knows? I mean, we've seen this before where the team, you know, kind of plays inspired in that sort of sense for him. So we'll see if that's a storyline throughout tonight. Also, let's talk a little bit about some of the other storylines going on here in the NHL. Toronto yesterday avoiding that shutout in Florida. So they avoid elimination. They'll be heading to a Game 7. That'll be tomorrow night in Toronto. Man, just with the buzz in the building, like, people are going to be on edge for sure. We know the Leafs' history in Game 7s has not been great. So overall, something that I think, you know, people are going to be really, really struggling with if you're a Leafs fan, if all of a sudden tomorrow they're down and they get down early in that game. I mean, Florida, just, you know, they are now pressure tested, you know, with their runs to the cup here, and they're trying to make it to three in a row. So obviously, to me, there's much more pressure on the Leafs. I know Florida is the defending champions. You'd think, oh, them getting knocked out, like, they the pressure's all in Toronto here. They finished, you know, first in the Atlantic. Their playoff failures with this core group of Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, Marner, you know, all those playing out. I think when you look at tomorrow, where there's more pressure, I think it's definitely on the square of the Leafs. So, you know, if Florida gets that first goal, man, the mood inside that arena will be rough. If Toronto can win, though, I mean, I said this with Paul, probably it was the Sabres' second last game of the season when they played Toronto and Anthony Stolarz was in net. I said, if he plays like this, the way he finished the regular season, I said, I think, honestly, Toronto can go to the Stanley Cup. Well, look what they're doing here. They did some of it with Stolarz, but now since he's been injured in this Florida series with Sam Bennett's errant elbow, they've had to go with Wallinnet, and he's been good. And he hasn't been necessarily, you know, something that's been a thorn in their side or a major hole. That I think, you know, he got a shutout, obviously, in this last game. So if they can advance and maybe look to get Stolarz back, I really think Toronto is as good as anybody. Now, we know that, you know, betting on them in the playoffs isn't a wise thing to do. But I think if they can get goaltending like that, we know they've always had the offense, but they've always seemed to have lack good defensive awareness and good goaltending, and they had it really, you know, they've had it here through the end of the regular season. Part of the huge reason why they ended up finishing first in the Atlantic and being better than teams like Tampa and teams like Florida, at least in the standings. And now, of course, they're facing Florida in a Game 7 situation tomorrow. That'll certainly be interesting. Right, we hope to connect with Dan Dunleavy here shortly for some thoughts on the NHL playoffs. We apologize we haven't gotten to him yet, but hopefully we'll get him in the next few minutes. As far as the Sabres go, Tage Thompson playing in the Worlds, got a hat trick, doing very, very well. You know, as I start to look about, okay, next season for the Sabres, what could this look like? Toronto, of course, has a player that Sabre fans maybe would be thinking about throwing a lot of money at in the offseason at free agency come July 1st, with Mitch Marner being an unrestricted free agent. Other than Marner being a huge Bills fan, you know, I don't know how much more that there would be to entice him to say, well, look, you don't really have to move that far. We're a team that, you know, quote, is maybe a player or two away from being better, and it's a chance for a fresh start. So, you know, if the Sabres really want to, you have to send. Remember when Terry Pegula took the private jet to go see Robin Regier in Calgary and bring him back? You got to send Josh Allen to Marner's house and have him do the negotiations, because I know he's a big Bills fan. But other than that, you know, who knows how that's going to work out. It's going to cost a ton of money for whoever signs Marner. But there are others. I know Sam Bennett, who's playing on the other side of things for Florida, you know, unrestricted free agent, could be a possibility as well. All right, so we're talking NHL playoffs, and now we have Dan Dunleavy, play-by-play man for the Buffalo Sabres. Dan, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. I apologize. I was sitting not far from my phone, but technology failed me. I didn't even hear it ring, so I beg your pardon on that. That's my fault. Yeah,
no problem. I miss seeing you, Dan. I know I get to say hello to you a few times a week during the season. I hope everything's going okay.
Yeah, everything's going fine. Just watching the playoffs like everybody else, and taking in a little bit of golf here and there when I can. I'm more of a big event guy when it comes to golf, so I don't stray too far from, you know, some of the majors and stuff like that. But yeah, everything's good. You?
Everything is great. Yeah, I miss seeing everybody down at the press box. Right. You know, the faces that we always see. But it would be fun, Dan, if at this point, you know, maybe at some point next year or, you know, next season, we could be sitting you saying, hey, Dan, you want to come on to preview game 7 tonight for the Sabres second round series? You know, that would be fun to do here at some point if we could get playoff games. Yeah.
If that ever happens, I'll just be calling you all the time saying, hey, come on, I want to come on this pregame show and talk about the game. I've got all this energy. Let's talk.
That's right.
But it's interesting you bring that up, because I was on with the guys in Rochester yesterday before the game against the Amherst. And, you know, the question came up about the Sabres season and kind of leading into next year and hopes and expectations and things like that. And it did bring to mind for me a thought that when you're watching some of these teams go through a playoff process of learning what it takes to get it done in what is a brand new season and a much different season in the way that the game is played, officiated, just everything, right? It's a total new beast that unfortunately you've got a generation of fans in Buffalo, very young fans, that really haven't had that feeling or experienced it in person. But having grown up and witnessed enough playoff games, and I know there's still a generation and a few in Buffalo that are certainly you know, they have the memories of what it's like when the building goes absolutely crazy like it is in Dallas and Winnipeg and Toronto and Florida, and, you know, everyone that's kind of in the race right now. But it really brought to mind the feeling that, you know, if there was ever an off season that you really wanted the players in Buffalo to hang on to how they played at the end of the year before, which again was a disappointment and not getting to the playoffs, but playing the right way and just remembering that way and bring it to September. And for me, I mentioned yesterday, it was really the first off season, even though the disappointment was there, where I thought, that's how you have to play. And maybe they've figured it out. And let's hope they bring that to September. And I just get reminded of it when I watch teams go through this in the playoffs, of being reminded of, you know, how they have to play. And obviously in last night's game with Toronto and Florida is 1-2 that just kind of echoed that reminder that doesn't matter how well you do at one point when you become a playoff team in the regular season, it's what do you do to take the next step. So, the playoffs opening your eyes to a bunch of things that you hope will be one day here very soon in Buffalo for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, we know that the Sabres did finish, we'll say, you know, I think fairly strong is okay to say that. And then 2 years ago, we know also missing the playoff by a point, another strong finish. But then the following season, we know after that, still that hole. And Dan, this year, and, you know, we can use Lindy Ruff's quote. You and I don't have to say it. Yep. Lindy said the 13-game winless streak killed them. And that happened, obviously, from late November through December. And, you know, you look back maybe at the low moment of that 13-game winless streak, the Colorado game, when they're up 4-0 after the first period. They end up losing 5-4 in regulation. You know, Kevin Adams saying, you know, in reflection at the end of the season, hey, maybe I should have done something there. Obviously, a 13-game winless streak is something that you wouldn't obviously want to sign up for. But I love what Lindy says. He's like, you know, every team loses. But he said the good teams come right back with a win. And that stretch is something that still probably is going to headline this season. And I think, as you said, knowing the right way to play, but also how do they respond to losses to not let them pile up? That has been obviously an issue here for a decade or so with this organization, is when you start to lose one, which turns into two, how does it stop there? Because everybody is going to lose one or lose two, but how does it not keep piling up to the point where they start to get bothered even mentally with it?
Yeah, so the very last word used in all the phrasing there, mentally, right? That's the difference. So it's so cliche to say, but everyone who's good enough to play in the NHL is good enough to play in the NHL for a reason. That's why they're there. Nobody gets a free ticket. Whether you like a player or don't like them, they have a resume. They've proven that they're good enough to play at this level. In the best league in the world, quite frankly. So that's already there. The mentality is the part where all of us, no matter what we do, but in this instance for hockey players, this is where they have to figure out how to bend but not break, and at the same time how to learn and how to grow. And sometimes that comes from a loss like Buffalo suffered against Colorado, or and I'm just going to make this about last night, okay, to coin a phrase. But you can take as an example of what happened to Toronto at home in front of their home fans who were throwing jerseys on the ice. Just the fans feeling that they had been betrayed, let down, embarrassed, whatever word or adjective you want to use as to how the fans felt. You can understand that the player's feeling is that, and then it's multiplied because you're adding in the frustration of the weight of the expectations that are on you as an individual. So how do you handle that? And I thought what Craig Berube, along with what Lindy Ruff said, they're different phrasing, but it's the same message. Lindy Ruff mentioning, look, teams are going to lose games. It's how you respond to it. Craig Berube said after that game in Toronto, he said, we could have lost 4-2 in a hard-fought game with an empty net goal. The loss is still a loss in the playoffs, and it hurts. This one is compounded by, yes, how it played out. And, you know, Berube said, I understand how the fans felt. I understand everybody was kind of just had this look in their eyes right after that game against Florida where it was an uh-oh moment. It was uh-oh. Mm-hmm. But the answer didn't lie in anyone else except the group of guys in the room. And again, it's so cliche, but it is the difference maker for Buffalo, for example, being able to rebound from that kind of a loss without needing to be spoken to by anybody, without anyone else, you know, anyone outside of the room. That shouldn't have to happen. The Sabres should be at a place with their core, even though they're young, of guys to realize they played enough games in the NHL. Yes, they need veteran experience around them. I am on the side of that. But at the same time, in the time being until that arrives, they've played enough to realize that they have it in the room to be a really good team, because we've all seen it. So how do you get back to that? So you fast forward to what happened with Toronto. They played probably their worst game, definitely of the playoffs. Can't say the entire season because I didn't see their every game in the year, but we've seen every game of the playoffs as we watch every game. They actually rebound and they play a very structured, calm, patient, but not sitting back kind of game against Florida. They were double teaming on puck pressure. They were doing everything right in how they defended against numerous Florida power plays. They got some breaks, right? They got some deflections from shots that were in really good spots for Florida. But last night, sitting at the Amherst game beside Paul and Joe Yurden and Mike Harrington, for those that don't know, all covering the Sabres and hockey in this region for years, and I watched the shot total in the game. At one point, it was 7-2 Toronto in the first period. Second period comes along. All of a sudden, it might have been 8-0 shots or 9-0 shots in the second period, maybe even 10 in favor of Florida, who were coming on. They were having an answer to their first period, which they probably felt, okay, it's time for us to turn our game in a certain direction. So you're being outshot. Let's just say it's 10-0 in the second period. And you can put the Sabres in that boat when they're starting to lose it against Colorado. Mike Harrington looks at me and he says, wow, they haven't had a shot in this whole second period and 10 shots for Florida. I said, yeah, but you know what the difference will be in this game, Mike? I said, and it's what Buffalo will figure out hopefully really soon. It doesn't matter. You can be outshot 10-0. It was still a 0-0 game last night. That was all that mattered. And I think what Craig Berube, in that moment, that was his job as a coach to, number one, don't get too in the way of the players. They got to figure it out. If you give them too much messaging, they're going to get their mind scrambled even more. There's enough in the room, certainly in Toronto, to figure it out. I think there's enough in the room in Buffalo to figure it out, but they need, obviously, a little more in certain spots here and there to get them into this, you know, second tournament or tournament of the season, second season, if you will. But for that game last night in Toronto, I just saw a little bit of what Buffalo's trying to get to is they figured it out. They didn't panic. Yeah, they're being outshot. Yeah, Florida's coming. Yeah, Florida's throwing everything they got. It's a 0-0 game, and you waited patiently but still attacking the game. So Matthews gets the break. It's a low shot. He finally puts it under the pads of Bobrovsky. Then Pacioretty jumps up on a play after really good defending in the middle of their own zone. And then Toronto's up 2-0. And then at that point, you're thinking, it's not done yet. Florida with 4 minutes to go, they're going to pull the goaltender at some point. They easily score two goals whenever they want, almost the way they play when they're on. And the Leafs held their own. And in that moment, you know, when that game was over, I just thinking that's what's got to be learned here is how do you rebound from that game against Colorado? How do you rebound like Toronto did from that game where everyone in the city and, you know, forget the media covering them, although with all due respect, because I've been there, but I just mean the fans who walked out and threw jerseys on the ice. So that was a big learning point for Toronto.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air.
What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, I think last night, and I think that the learning point for the Sabres is, as you mentioned, how do you not let what happened after the Colorado game happen again?
Right. Dane Dunleavy with us here, the Sabres play-by-play man. We'll talk Amerks here in a moment. One more thought just on maybe what the Sabres need so that doesn't happen again. Kevin Adams gives extensions to Jason Zucker and Jordan Greenway. And I think you and I are in agreement that they have a value to the team beyond even just whatever points they're producing or whatever battles they're winning on the ice. It's in the room. It's their experience, all these sort of things.
Yep.
Is that enough? Do you think that there needs to be more, another Zucker, another Greenway, to push the Sabres so that there isn't another 13-game winless streak? Or do you think that these two are enough that with the, you know, the amount of games that the rest of the Sabres have under their belt that they can get it done and have that stronger mentality here when things aren't going their way?
I feel pretty good about saying you need depth. I think you can never have enough depth. I mean, look at the Oilers are the same way. I know they're at a different level, and people might be thinking, hey, why are you even bringing Edmonton up? It's still a process of adding a depth to your core group of players that if there's a time when Greenway goes down, given what he can bring with his physicality, his tenaciousness, his just way of being around the guys, which is something you can't, it's part of the team. And when you're around it and see it, you get it. You know, the same with Zucker. Zucker obviously at a point in his career where he's still finding a way, and he's obviously doing great work in the offseason, looking after himself. Both physically, mentally, he's got himself in a real good spot that he can still contribute to the level he did. So I would think there's not a general manager in the league that doesn't want to add. You know, the word subtract never comes up. It's how do we add to it? So, yeah, I do think forward and defense, you want to add. And you want to figure out as well, you know, your situation in net. You've got Luukkonen, who's proven what he could do. You've seen the ups and you've seen the dips, and then you've seen the rebounding. You saw a veteran last year step up and do a very solid job under the circumstances with James Reimer. You've got Devin Levi down there playing in the American Hockey League, trying to prove a point that he still thinks that he is part of the future of the franchise. So there's decisions to be made there. I certainly anticipate a busy offseason, and I don't think there would ever be a quiet one for any GM in the NHL, to be fair to everybody, that I do think that the word addition is something that's going to be creeping around the offices here in Buffalo, and they'll be creeping around every team in the NHL. It's no different. But there's no doubt that when the Sabres are a completely healthy lineup, and again, you got to think that Benson will be a year older. You know, Quinn's got to obviously find that stride where he's kind of consistently feeling good about his game. We've seen ups and downs as well there, and that's all part of being a young player and just finding your way to make it happen every game. It doesn't happen overnight. That's the frustration. When you start adding up these years that we've talked about for many years in Buffalo, and you know, I've only been here for 12 of them, but every year we're talking about how do you have this not happen again? How do you find experience? Well, I think we're at a point where your core really talented young players have an understanding now of what it takes to play defense to offense, starting from your own zone. And Yuri Kulik was a great example of that as a young player coming in and doing it, defending, often getting possession down low on his own end and starting a transition play back up ice. And I think even for a guy like Tage, finding out that, listen, I got to shoot the puck because I've probably got one of the best shots in the National Hockey League. I got to shoot the puck. I got to get the spots where I can shoot. And obviously we've seen too, he can dangle, he can carry, but his shot, there's not many that are better than that. So you got to find a way to get him open, find a way to get him shooting the puck. And, you know, the Sabres can add players that can take some of that pressure off of coverage or whatever. So I think additions will definitely be, you know, they're part of the conversation. The tough part is, and it's not an excuse, every team will want to add. Look at the Panthers. They subtract and add all the time. Vegas adds all the time. You know, Dallas, if they didn't add who they did and the big fellow, the Moose.
Rantanen was probably, a huge move, right?
Yeah. They wouldn't be where they are. So there has to be a level of, I don't know if I call it aggressiveness, but there has to be a level of, we need to add here. So, and I'm pretty darn sure that there's not many hockey minds that say we're okay with just standing pat. So,
I agree. I mean, if Dallas ends up in the Stanley Cup final, Rantanen's probably got his name for sure for the playoff MVP with how he's been playing.
Yeah, look at tonight's game. You're Winnipeg. I mean, who are you focused on? They were focused on eliminating him in the last game. They did a fairly good job of whether it's whoever's been passing him the puck, whatever video breakdown they have of how Rantanen gets to where he gets to cause you problems. You either have to take whoever's giving him the puck away so he's not getting the pass up to him, because Mikko's not doing a ton of end-to-end rushes, but he's a big body once he gets in the offensive zone. And he gets set up with the puck on his stick. He doesn't have to go far. He can just lean on you and get to the net, and he's got a great shot. So you're either eliminating the play up the ice, or you're at least slowing it down, or you're finding someone that can somehow just stay in front of him for the entire game. And tonight in Dallas, if you and I are coaching Winnipeg, they've got a great lineup. They have tons of talent. But if you hold that guy off the score sheet, you give yourself a way better chance of winning tonight if you're Winnipeg. So,
Yeah, sure.
Those are the difference-making moves, right? I mean, Carolina survived it, not being able to keep him in the mix because he just wasn't the right fit for the way they play. So it'd be interesting. I mean, if Carolina and Dallas wind up meeting in the finals, that would be interesting for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, let's finish here with the Amerks. You said you were at the game last night. Rochester evening up that series at one apiece. It shifts now. Laval will end up hosting game three in the next few here. A 5-3 victory. Kulik gets the game winner on the power play in the third period. I'm sure fans want to hope that not only does Kulik dominate in the playoffs here, but continues what he really did toward the end of the regular season, which was lead that top line. We saw Lindy Ruff put him with Tage Thompson. I mean, that shows he's got trust in a young player. And I love Kulik's development, how not only did he get the chance to start the season in Buffalo, but he had maybe a couple of up and down moments there, even a scratch here and there. But man, by the end of the season, Lindy Ruff had nothing but flying colors of things to say about him. So over the course of the 82-game season, not only did he earn the spot to play number one center for the Sabres with their best player in Tage Thompson, but it seemed as though he definitely earned the respect of his head coach, who has seen a lot of young players over the course of his many, many games that Lindy Ruff has been behind the bench.
Well, and he'll become a better player with a healthy Josh Norris in the lineup as well. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, give Norris the offseason to get healthy, and let's all hope he has a 100% healthy season for his sake and the Sabres' sake next year. Because, again, Yuri Kulik, yes, he, to me, was the player last year that really opened my eyes with how he came from the American League into the NHL and very quickly learned how he had to play to have success, which is only going to be a greater success as he continues on here, specifically offensively. I don't think he's going to change how he plays defensively because I think he did it the right way, and I think he's learned. And Lindy's showing him the trust with the certain areas of the game that he had him on the ice, and time on ice is something that is earned. And I think he earned that from Lindy Ruff because of how he played defensively transitioning to offense. He's got a great shot. Everybody knows that. But you got to put yourself in position and your team in a position to be on offense to take advantage of the shot. And you start defending. And I mentioned it earlier in our chat. He was retrieving pucks from goal line in his own end, starting to transition to offense, and then getting into the zone with the top line or whoever he was playing with. So love how he played throughout the season. You don't want to put the entire weight of the team on a player like that, but that's where, as they say, the depth comes in and when everyone's healthy. Because if you got Greenway and Zucker and Norris and Thompson and Kulik, and, you know, Benson obviously is a real good puck possession guy. What's he doing in the summer as far as continuing to get just stronger as his body gets older? I hate saying older when they're 19 and 20 years old, but you know what I'm saying? It's just the growth in their game. So Yuri Kulik for me was a guy that really stood out last year, 100%. Probably, you know, aside from Tage Thompson returning to the goal-scoring form that we know he has in him, that was a really pleasant part of the season last year, was to watch how well he played.
Game with three.
Your question, I was taking a while to get back to it, but with Rochester, what I liked about what I've only been to two games in person, so I just want to frame that first of all. But in this series, I saw one against Syracuse, and that was the first one against Laval that I just saw. If Laval keeps playing the way that they're playing, and they're an aggressive team, they're trying to get in the Amherst's face, they're trying to draw penalties, they're just playing in that 100% kind of even the Panthers way of in the playoffs. We're in your face. We're going to scrum after every whistle. We're just going to be annoying. And what the Amherst did last night that I liked was they didn't back down from it, but nor did they over-initiate anything that they put themselves into any kind of real trouble numerous times in the game. And if Laval keeps playing this way, and they've got some talent in their lineup, and at home, it's going to be a different story, obviously, with them having the home ice now for the next three. But if the Amherst just keep playing that way, and I talked to Coach Leone after the game yesterday, and I said, you got a bunch of gritty guys here. They're not backing down. If they stay in the face of Laval, don't take the extra penalty, get onto the power play, then Yuri Kulik can have an impact on the game, I think, more and more. Because the Amherst look really good on the power play. They've got guys that are able to pass the puck. Rusek, Rozan, they're just, I like the team. I like it a lot. I like what's going on down there. And it was really fun to watch. And the people at the Blue Cross, they were lit. They were on fire. Building was great. So it was a really good atmosphere to be around.
Very cool.
Yeah, I really, really hope they keep doing well.
Game three of the North Division Final Series is back in Laval, and it's Wednesday night, 7:05. And AHL TV, if you want to watch it. And if you're in the Rochester area, it's on 95.7 FM or 950 AM on the Fan in Rochester. So, Dan, I appreciate you giving us some time here this afternoon. Good insight, as always. And let's catch up again soon.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you soon at the ballpark or something. Yeah, we'll do that.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, take care. You too.
Okay, Dan Dunleavy with us here, voice of the Sabres. And, yeah, Amherst tied one apiece in the Calder Cup playoffs. Okay, when we come back, Ryan Hasenauer going to throw the headset back on, and we'll go through horse by horse the Preakness Stakes, 7:01 post time from Pimlico and Baltimore, and we'll go through the nine-horse field one by one with his awesome news and notes when we return right after this on our Preakness show from Batavia Downs Gaming, the tacos and tequila party. Close to getting started here, as you can get your bets in. You can join us here for the party. Ryan will give you all those details, too, when we return. Right after this, live at Batavia Downs, here in Batavia on WGR. .335 is the time. We welcome you back here to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account?
Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Batavia Downs Gaming inside the Park Place room. The tacos and tequila party just about set to get going here. For the Preakness Stakes, the post time is set for 7:01, and it's from Pimlico in Baltimore. All right, Ryan Hasenauer is back with us.
Yes, hello.
Ryan, what have you been noticing from some of the races so far?
Well, I was completely...
I know you study those early races to see what's happening, right?
Well, not that it matters because the Pimlico is going to be... the Preakness is on the dirt, but this turf race that literally just ended as we came back from the commercial break... I didn't understand why anyone liked the four horse, and the four horse just came at the very end and closed and won the race. So, you know, sometimes I'll tell you that even though it's the turf versus the dirt, the jockeys are still racing in each one of these races leading up to the Preakness. And if everyone's like, I feel like the rail's working today, or I feel like the closers, I can make my move. You know, there's an art to horse racing where the jockeys have to know when to tell the horse to go, you know. So there's all those, like, little things that kind of go into the strategy. Because I was telling somebody the other day, as soon as I saw that the fractions in the Derby were more than 45 seconds for the first half mile, I knew all my betting with the closers, like the Sandman, were completely cooked, because those first fractions weren't fast enough to get the front-running horses tired to let the closers finish and get ahead of them. Those front-running horses and those stalking horses, they still had enough quote-unquote horse, you know, stamina, whatever, energy left to stay ahead and be ahead of everybody at the end of the race. So it's important to study that stuff. You want to see who the hot jockeys are and how everybody's doing.
How are we looking weather-wise?
So last I checked, it was a 25% chance of rain, and it seems to have gone away because I'm just seeing nothing but blue skies and sunshine at Pimlico right now. And I should mention, too, Brian, it's interesting with the Belmont Stakes being at the Spa at Saratoga this year. Next year, it goes back, theoretically, to Belmont Park. But next year, the Preakness will not be at Pimlico. It will be at Laurel Park because they're taking a one-year hiatus to knock down the decrepit grandstands and hopefully rebuild it and make it nicer, you know, for these big events that we were talking about in the first hour. So, so that's kind of what's happening with some background stuff. So they're saying goodbye to part of Pimlico today before they knock it down.
Okay. You ready to go here?
I'm ready. Yeah, let's get to them.
All right, let's do it. We're going to go horse by horse, 9 horses deep in this field for the Preakness Stakes. Let's start with horse 1. 6-1 odds here for Goal Oriented.
Yes, with jockey Flavian Pret, and this is Bob Baffert's horse. This is a pace setter horse. He's going to kind of stay near the front, maybe even press the pace at the beginning. This horse won on the undercard at Churchill Downs on Derby Day. Mm. So he won on Derby Day, just not the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
He set the pace on a sloppy track, which is never easy to do, and he pulled away. Baffert has 8 Preakness races won. This jockey here, Flavian Pret, won the Preakness back in 2021. Again, Goal-Oriented with a fabulous speed number in that last race at the Churchill Downs. We'll see how he reacts on a nice, beautiful day at Pimlico.
All right, this horse got some good numbers favoring him. The 8-5 favorite right now, the two-horse journalism.
The post-time favorite at the Kentucky Derby, but did finish second, of course. Umberto Rispoli is the jockey. Michael McCarthy is the trainer. This horse is going to stalk. He's going to stay just off the lead like he did in the Derby and try to make a move. He had a little bit of a stumble. You know, at the beginning, I don't know if anyone noticed, the beginning of the Derby, the one horse just went completely nuts and just knocked a bunch of horses kind of over. And then as the horses kind of settle, that definitely was a little bit crazy there at the beginning. Luckily, it's a long race, and people were able to make up some time. But you wonder that if the race was a little bit shorter, was journalism maybe going to be able to, you know, do a better job? You know, he tired a little bit late. So if it was a shorter race, would he have been more towards the front, that sort of a thing? You know, with the Derby winner skipping the Preakness, as we talked about, and the third place winner. It skipped the Preakness as well, by the way.
So he's the only one to
in the top three
that's
still racing
today.
Back. So that definitely makes him the clear-cut favorite. I'll be using him certainly in all my bets today.
All right, that was two journalism. Let's go to horse three. At 15-1, it's American Promise.
So this is a press-the-pace horse from Dwayne Lucas. He's going to go out to the front. He's going to try to set the pace with jockey Nick Juarez. He finished a disappointing 16th, though, in the Kentucky Derby, Brian, and he was the fifth-choice betting favorite. He is the son of Triple Crown winner Justified from 2018, so he's looking to bounce back. And, of course, Dwayne Lucas did win the Preakness last year. I should note this is something really, really interesting that Nick the Railbird shared with me, and it's on the cover of every one of those free programs you can get your OTB branch today. A new trend might be emerging here with horses skipping the Preakness and to go to the Belmont. Did you know that six of the last eight Preakness winners have skipped the Kentucky Derby, including the last five? The last five skipped and then came and were new shooters, as they say. So it's just kind of you know, crazy to have it be where they skipped the Derby but raced in the Preakness and were a quote-unquote new shooter and won the Preakness.
How much do you managing
the rest.
Rest here. I mean, if some people are thinking, look, we can't win the Derby, but we're going to swoop in on the Preakness, or, I mean, tactically, how you play this out here,
maybe it
goes back to our conversation that we started the show with here, is that we want the best horses to race in the biggest races.
Right. And each
so
one is...
maybe that argument about you spacing it out more would benefit all of them.
It could. The other thing, too, with this is also the different style of races. So, like, you know, if you're racing at certain places, the dirt is a little bit different. They call Belmont the Big Sandy. The dirt's a little bit different there. Of course, that one, when it won't be at Saratoga, but when it's raced at Belmont, it's a mile and a half, which most horses will never race a mile and a half at any other racing point in their careers. And the Preakness is a little bit less, 1 3/16 as compared to the Derby, which is, of course, 1 1/4. So you'd have to have them almost be all uniform to make sense to do that. But at the same time, it seems like the extra rest is helping. And if the extra rest is helping and we're seeing that trend, maybe that's another tick of the box to say, let's space these things out.
Yep. All right, let's go to horse four. 12-1, it's Heart of Honor.
Probably the best story, Brian, of the weekend here. Heart of Honor is a Great Britain bred horse that also races over in Medellin at the UAE. This horse came in second in the big race out there, which was the UAE Derby. Of course, whoever won the UAE Derby, and this horse too, got points that got them to possibly race in the Kentucky Derby. Well, you would say, wow, he came in second to the horse that won the UAE Derby. Well, the horse that won the UAE Derby definitely finished last in the Kentucky Derby. So not necessarily great there, but you know, this horse is the son of Honor AP, who was fourth in the 2020 Derby. And the trainer and the jockey is a father-daughter combo. That's right. This is a female jockey. Safi Osborne is on the back of Heart of Honor. So if you ladies out there listening, you want to put your money behind a lady today, be sure to look at the number four, Heart of Honor.
All right. Horse five, Pay Billy. It's 20-1.
He's a press-the-pace horse that's probably going to be up towards the front, maybe urging those pace-setter horses on, but maybe stalking as well. This is the quote-unquote local horse, Brian. This horse has 8 lifetime starts, all made in the Mid-Atlantic region. He's not racing over in Medellin. He's not racing out in California. He's doing everything kind of nearby. You know, this horse, his last 3 were at Laurel Park, which is, of course, in Maryland, and where the Preakness Stakes will be next year. He's the son of the fourth place finisher in 2019's Kentucky Derby, and he's won his last 2 races, including the Tessio Stakes on April 19th. So a little bit of extra time, you know, to rest because he didn't race in the Derby. This horse has some slower speed figures. You can see in your free OTB program, never more than like a 93, which isn't great considering there's some other great speed horses in this race. But again, if he takes, is just off the lead as a stalking horse, he'll make a bid at the top of the stretch and see what he can do. But he is one of the longest shots on the board.
All right, we go to horse six. Any of the English out there for yes. River Thames
River
at
Thames.
9-2.
With the hottest jockey out there, Erad Ortiz Jr. at 9-2, as you said. Todd Pletcher's horse. This is a press-the-pace stalking horse. Now, this horse had enough points to race in the Derby, okay? He was third in the Bluegrass Stakes and second in the Fountain of Youth, which are two lead-up races where he can earn those points. But the owners decided to point him at the Preakness. And why? Because he's a sprint horse. And the shorter distance suits him. The shorter distance should suit the style that he races at mile and 3/16. Ortiz nor Pletcher have ever won a Preakness, which is kind of interesting considering that Todd Pletcher seems to be all over the place. But at 9-2, definitely a decent price if you're not really looking to bet the favorite journalism. Or, you should definitely include both of them in your exotic bets. But if you're looking for just one, this is a very good value horse.
So here you go. Here's a little research on this horse. Many people that go to England and go on this have said that they think of seahorses, but they live around the British coastline, and they've been found living in around the River Thames.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a famous painting called The Rising Tide, artwork that has a series of horses with riders that are based upon the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Oh, geez.
But there's a huge exhibit that is on the River Thames with these horses within the site of Parliament.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
That little bit of a history on the naming.
You like a little history there? Maybe a little background of why we see River Thames at horse six today. Okay, let's go to horse seven. Pretty good line here, pretty good favorite here. 4-1, Sandman.
Yeah, so, Sandman and me, not real good friends. definitely the horse that I touted to everybody all day long. On the first Saturday in May, telling everybody you need to bet Sandman. He's the horse. Second choice favorite on the betting line, a disappointing seventh in the Kentucky Derby. The slow early place and that sloppy track pretty much hurt him. Again, he's a closing horse, so he's trying to come late, hoping that those early horses that are at the front are having fast early fractions and maybe tire themselves out. Also, most of those closing horses, well, any horse, anybody, doesn't like getting dirt kicked in their face. And that is the case that happens on a sloppy track when you are trying to close. It's very difficult to do that. He's going to be looking for fast fractions at the front to try to pick off horses and win. I've got him probably as third choice in some of my exotic bets. I am going to be making, and I'll publish this on my Twitter account at RyanH7681. I'm going to be putting out probably a version, a bet where they do have the early fast fractions. All those early horses fade, and then this horse comes in near the front. I've got a $1 exact or a superfecta wheel where I'm going to be using Sandman as second. It's really also interesting, too, that the jockey change on the back here. So in his last couple of races, he had Jose Ortiz. Jose Ortiz is going to be on the number 8 Clever Again, which we'll talk about in a second. But he's going to have John Velasquez on his back. And John Velasquez, of course, won 2023's Preakness Jockey. And John Velasquez is a legend.
Right.
So you got a jockey change there. So am I back in now on Sandman? It's one of those things. I am going to be including him in some of my exotic bets.
Over this minute of discussion, you sound like you're talking yourself back into Sandman.
I am talking myself back in. I have to redo this before I tweet it out. But I'm going to be using my exotic bets. I just don't know after what I saw if he's going to do it. And they see that these fast early fractions don't hit. I know that Sandman's not going to be hitting the board. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Sandman controversy. We'll see, Ryan, what he does. Let's go to horse 8, 5-1, and it's Clever Again.
Now, Clever Again has Jose Ortiz on his back, and Jose is his regular rider, Brian.
Yep.
So he was on Clever Again when he won the Hot Springs Stakes at Oaklawn on March 30th. So again, a good amount of rest, all of April, halfway through May here, so 6-plus weeks of rest. His breeding is English and Irish turf horses, so not exactly bred for the dirt, but we've seen horses like Animal Kingdom, be turf horses and then look really great on the dirt. He's a pace setter horse, so he's going to be near the front. So he's going to try to take off, stay in the front, and just do what he can. He is the son of American Pharoah. So you got another Triple Crown son here in the race today. And this horse is going up in class. His last race, again, the Hot Spring Stakes, was a stakes race, but it was just at a mile. And then his race before that was just for $110,000. So, really going up in class pretty quickly against these very, very good horses.
All right, we had Pay Billy at 20-1, one of the long shots, and then the other long shot, Gosker, the 9-horse, at 20-1.
You got Luis Saez on the back with Brendan Walsh as the trainer. This is another press-the-pace horse, maybe not at the front, but definitely near the front. The other gray horse in the race behind, besides number 7, Sandman. This is a younger horse, a younger horse, I should say. One thing that people need to realize, that they don't know this, is every horse technically has their birthday on January 1st. So if you're born, it doesn't matter if you're born on January 1st, January 5th, or July 1st, your birthday is technically, as a horse, on January 1st. And that's so that all the horses that are racing in the Kentucky Derby are all technically 3 years old. So what's interesting about this horse is he was born halfway through the year. So while his birthday says January 1st, he's on the younger side of three. Okay, and so that's why he didn't race a lot of these earlier races that were in the January, February, late December time, because he was a really young horse, and they weren't sure if he was just ready for it. He's a relative to I'll Have Another, the 2012 Derby and Preakness winner, which you mentioned. He's a son of Nyquist, who won the 2016 Derby. He does have some lower speed figures, you know, so that's going to be hurting him a little bit. One other thing to mention about this horse is he did win the Lexington Stakes, which is held at Keeneland on April 12th. You do get Derby points for that race, but it's the weekend after all the other races, which is kind of crazy. It's just kind of too close to the Preakness. So even though you might get Derby points for that, you might not want to turn around and race in the Derby literally 3 weeks later, because that is a big race. You don't want to be racing with not a lot of rest. So Gosker's actually on the cover of our Preakness guide here as Nick the Railbird's live long shot.
There are people that like to bet the long shot.
Yeah, and as Nick writes here, a new face of the Triple Crown race, he finished first in his last start winning the Keeneland Lexington Stakes. He'll have to overcome a significant class jump, but he has been training well. You know, that's one of those things they say, how's the horse training? What are the morning clockers, those guys that are on the side with the speed, with their stopwatches, what are they saying? And so apparently people are liking to see what Gosker's doing. So, you know, maybe include him in some of your bets. I think I got him on one of them. I got to take a look at my notes here. I think I might be including him somewhere in one of these long shot bets. Just to say I got him in there for Nick.
Betting a long shot when there's only 9 horses.
Right.
It takes less for one of them to come in some sense. Like you said, in the Derby, you had maybe a horse right out of the gate that maybe takes off a horse or two. It's a shorter race here.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, maybe there's a long shot that's right there.
Well, you know, so here's something you can do, and this is kind of crazy. I haven't told this story in a long time. So the Derby's got 20 horses, 19 this year. Well, if you wanted to guarantee yourself an exact win at the Derby, you could do it, Brian. You just got to bet 20 horses over 19 horses and do a dollar exact a box. Well, it's $380.
Right.
But you can guarantee yourself a win. Well, if it comes in chalk chalk,
now you just got to root hard for the long shots at that point.
If you root chalk chalk, if it comes in chalk chalk, you're done. You're going to lose all your money. Now in the Preakness, there's 9 horses. Well, 9 times 8 is 72. You can guarantee yourself a dollar exact to win in the Preakness today for $72. But you better hope that Gosker or Pay Billy comes in. Otherwise, you're going to lose your money. There was a guy many, many years ago that went into the OTB branch in Rochester. And I can't remember how many horses were there, whatever the number comes up to. He brought in $15,000 in cash, and he bought so it was guaranteed that he would win the trifecta in the Belmont.
Wow.
I don't remember if it was 8 horse, wherever it was, but it came out to be around $15,000. I don't know if he was betting 50-cent tries or dollar tries or whatever he was doing, but he tried to guarantee himself a trifecta win, hoping it would come long shot, long shot, long shot, and he would just have it made in the shade. You know, there was a year, I think it was the year American Pharoah won, or not American Pharoah, excuse me, Animal Kingdom. I think the superfecta for the Derby that year paid $250,000, which is absolutely just crazy for a buck. Well, I will tell you, Brian, that the story does not end well for this gentleman, because unfortunately it came in chalk, chalk, chalk.
Oof.
And I think he ended up winning on his 50-cent try somewhere in the neighborhood of like $37 or something like that.
Oof.
So to spend $15,000 to make $37, not something I'd recommend. But you can definitely take one of our free OTB programs you get at your OTB branch, your Easy Bet, or online at Batavia Bets. Do your research. I will tell you, listen to me, but listen to me with a grain of salt. And make your own wager, and you know, don't try to bet all the different combinations on that. Make a smart bet, and hopefully you hit, and everybody benefits when that happens.
Where can they bet, Ryan, before we go to break here?
Sure. So you're going to go to westernotv.com, and you'll find a location near you. We have branches, of course, in Rochester and in Buffalo, down in Jamestown as well, all about in beautiful Auburn, New York. I know everyone out in Auburn's watching. Syracuse currently beating Princeton 9-7 in this highly anticipated lacrosse matchup today. So shout out to the Syracuse lacrosse team there. And then, of course, you can wager on BataviaBets.com from your PC, tablet, or smartphone. Or you can come see me and Brian and the WGR Street Team. Nico's here. He's got the prize wheel. Yep. People spinning. I see mugs. I see golf balls from, is it from Encore, maybe?
Yep.
Might be. Got some koozies,
those
some hats,
mugs,
some t-shirts.
By the way, are nice. Look at them.
Yeah, look at those. I like those. Nice and tall. Good for a hot chocolate for me. I'm not a coffee guy.
Yeah.
So those are the places you can make a wager. Visit us at the Tacos Tequila Bar. A lot of people checking in. Thurman Thomas is on his way. He just texted me. My dad is listening. Shout out to my dad. And I can't go without mentioning, of course, my friend Steve texted me. Brian, we got wrestling here on Father's Day. Father's Day fallout here, NCW. We got some wrestling going on inside of the Park Place room here today. Or not today, on Father's Day. You get your tickets now for that. The day before, we have a Lucky Loop race. We're not doing our 5K this year. We're doing a Lucky Loop where you run around the track as many times as you can in an hour. And whoever has the most laps in the different age groups wins, like, the trophies and stuff. We're doing teams and stuff like that, raising money for the cemetery, the National Cemetery out there in Pembroke, and also for Roswell Park. So sign up for the big Lucky Loop that we're doing here at Batavia Downs. I got ZBTB coming this week. I got the Belmont Steaks Party with the bourbon.
Can they still get into tacos and tequila here?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Get your tickets at the Lucky Treasures gift shop. You could buy them online, but you know what? Get here today. Avoid those online fees. You know how they always get you with the online fees.
Mm-hmm.
Batavia Downs isn't keeping that money. Get here and buy your ticket at the Lucky Treasures gift shop for a face value $35. And then come in, see Thurman, see me, get a picture with Thurman, get a picture with me if you want, and bet this Preakness Stakes, and let's all win some money together.
Sounds great. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Brian.
We'll get your official picks
in
the final half hour of the show when we hope to also be speaking with Thurman Thomas, too.
100%.
Awesome. All right. We'll take a time out here. There we go. The horse-by-horse details from Ryan. We hope you enjoyed that. Got a jam-packed third hour. Jeff Mitas is going to update us on what's happening at the PGA Championship. I'll tell you this. I see the name Scheffler on the top. He has gotten into the lead. So we'll talk to Jeff about that. And as we said, Ryan will come back with his picks. We'll get Bills Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas as well here. We'll ask him, what do you think of the Bills' schedule? All that and more coming up. Our Preakness Show from Batavia Downs. Brian Colziel on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.